joined at the witness table, Corporation Counsel Grady and Buck Consultants.
From Corporation Counsel requesting authorization to amend sections 201.24 sub 4.1 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as it pertains to certain pension benefit enhancements for non-represented employees. This item was also referred to the Pension Board and the Committees on Finance and Audit and Personnel. The Committee on Finance and Audit approved this item by a vote of 5-0.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Will you introduce yourself for those in the audience and those who are listening?
Good morning, Chairman. Mark Grady from Corporation Counsel.
Good morning. Larry Langer from Buck Consultants.
Thank you, gentlemen. Ms. Grady, would you summarize for us the item before us and any input and advice from Corporation Counsel's office?
Sure. Thank you, Chairman. This matter was generated out of the Finance Committee primarily by Supervisor Mayo, who's also on the commission here today. The Sheriff's Department is creating or is asking for permission to create 18 positions of correction officer lieutenant. These are new positions. They would be non-represented positions. It's expected that they'll be filled by promotions from the correction officer ranks, who are represented positions. Because of the difference when the rule of 75 for those two groups, for AFSCME employees, the rule of 75 eligibility for that rule ended with membership on 1/1/94. For non-represented employees, eligibility for that rule of 75 ended on 1/1/2006. So it is theoretically possible, or fairly likely actually, that a member who was hired as a correction officer after 1994 or after 1993 would be promoted into one of these non-rep positions and then would become eligible for the rule of 75. And so the Finance Committee asked that I draft an ordinance to eliminate that possibility so that members who are correction officers now and who are promoted will not be able to receive the Rule of 75 through their promotion. And so what you have before you is that ordinance amendment, which effectively prevents these promoted officers from getting a benefit that they would not otherwise have. We had Mr. Langer as required. This matter is on the Personnel Committee agenda also this afternoon or after this meeting. Mm-hmm. Mr. Langer has done an actuarial report as required for the Pension Study Commission, and his report is dated April 13th, and he can speak to that, but it obviously is a savings to the pension system when you deny a benefit to some class of individuals.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Before I ask you to continue, Mr. Langer, Supervisor Mayo, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, then the Finance do a modification amendment to the report to make sure that we are on the same page.
What you may be thinking of, Supervisor Mayo, is they did an amendment on a different item in front of them with respect to the AFSCME overtime rules.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
A different item?
A different item.
Okay. Anything else, Ms. Supervisor?
No.
Thank you. Then let's continue, please. Mr. Langer, thank you for coming today and your written analysis. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. As Mark mentioned, it's an April 13th report, a letter in front of you. Two-page letter here. Okay, I was worried people can't hear me. Okay, great. I have a two-page letter here reviewing the analysis that Mark mentioned. And for this, we don't have 18 positions have not been filled. So when we took a look at this analysis, we took a look at the potential group that from which it could be filled. There's about 450 corrections officers that potentially could be promoted in this position. And I don't know if some of you may recall a report we did a couple of years ago with regard to deputy sheriffs, where we took a look at averages overall and said what could potentially happen as people fill these ranks. This report is sort of in a similar vein. What we effectively did was we took a look at the 450-some-odd corrections officers, and we ran them anticipating under the current rules that they're under, which does not include the 75 and out provision, and then we ran it anticipating a 75 and out provisions. And we determined that on average, a liability, when you remove the 75 and out provision or not allow the 75 and out provision, it results in savings of about $12,000 per person on average, or an average reduction in liability from $102,000 per person to $90,000 per person savings. That covers basically the first page of the analysis. Second page, just a couple caveats. I keep saying average. The results can vary from person to person. There will be some people that can't even avail themselves of the 75 and out provision. They may only be able to retire under the current provisions, potentially because they're hired late in career or whatever. There may be other folks that are like 51, 52 with a lot of service under their belt, and if they got the 75 and out provision, could get 6, 8, 10 years worth of benefit payments that they wouldn't get anyways, otherwise. And so those folks might have savings of, you know, $100,000 or more with regard to those type of motions. So obviously very different depending upon the personal, the person's characteristics. Frequency of promotions is another element that will drive these savings. There's 18 positions currently, but over the course of time, you could have more than 18 people filling those positions. So, you know, the savings would be more than for 18 folks. I think that covers the highlights of the analysis.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Mayo.
Yes, since you made the letter on a very great day, April 13th, I'm going to move approval.
Was there a birthday recently? Happy birthday.
Happy 40th.
Any other questions besides the motion being made by Supervisor Mayo for approval? And any comments, questions on the motion?
I just had, before I second it, I just wanted to make, I'll second it, and I just have a comment.
Thank
to make.
You,
I assume that we have, as a standard operating procedure, anytime we change benefit structure, we always have an actuarial analysis of it. Is that correct?
Any change in the any change in the pension ordinance requires an actuarial analysis.
Okay, all right. Good. Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm just certainly a very good practice.
Excellent. Thank you. Any other discussion on the matter? No further questions? We have a motion before us for approval.
To concur. To
concur.
To concur.
With finance.
With finance.
Mayo.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Mr. Cheer.
Aye.
3 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to concur with finance and audit is approved.
We'll prepare the written report for personnel and county board. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Attorney Grady.
Just one other sort of heads up, if I will. I would not be surprised if we were asking you to meet again in the next couple of months, because we are going to have to bring forward pension ordinance changes related to the state required contribution. If the collective bargaining bill passes or becomes law, and we will also probably have to be bringing forth changes to you for the change in multiplier to 1.6 for the other unions again if the collective bargaining bill becomes law. So just to anticipate those will be coming.
Thank you for that heads up. We'll be in contact with current members as well as future members, and this concludes our business today. This meeting is adjourned.
Well.